This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
I'm going to see if I remember how to do this.
All right. You got it, Kyle?
I hope so. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. No Joe Brazil today. Jesse Tapia is going to be out for D'Lo and KC, so I'm doing double duty, running the board, producing shows. So I'm in studio, if you're a longtime listener to the program, I'm in Studio 1. This is where we did this show for the first, year or so?
Yeah.
This is how we did this setup, where I'm in Studio 1, you're in Studio 2, and we're talking to each other through glass until they gave us, it was probably a year and a half, until we got Joe. And now Joe does all the production stuff. As you can see, I'm moving my hands and hitting the microphone because I'm so unfamiliar with the setup in here. But I know how to do this. I'm going to try and remember how to do this as we go. We're going to talk about the Sacramento Kings draft. We're going to talk about what's next for the Sacramento Kings.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about expectations for this year. We're also going to talk to the Nate Clifford's head coach, the head coach at Colorado State men's basketball. Ali Farouk Manesh is going to join us at 11:45. We'll get his insight into Nate Clifford. Now, Coach Farouk Manesh was an assistant coach for the last 7 years with Colorado State, and he was a big piece of Nate Clifford's development. Even though he wasn't the head coach, he's now the head coach.
Yeah.
He wasn't the head coach while Nate Clifford was there, but he was a big part of Nate Clifford's development during his 2 years at Colorado State. So really interested to talk to him at 11:45 and get his insights into what the Kings are getting with their first round pick.
Sounds good.
That's what we got coming up.
Awesome.
And I'm gonna try and remember how to operate this program. So if there's some hiccups, we really appreciate you guys bearing with us on ESPN 1320 AM and 98.5 FM HD2. Everybody on YouTube and Twitch, youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Please hit us up in the chatty house there. We'd love to hear from you. Love to hear your thoughts on the Sacramento Kings draft. Because I think what we're getting right now is a ton of optimism, which typically reigns this time of year, late June. But I think when you start stacking up what the Kings did with the 24th overall pick after trading up into the first round, and then what they did with the 42nd overall pick, I think it's important to, with all draft analysis, not just the Kings, not just the NBA, but with all draft analysis, to go, okay, there's a difference between, hey, this is what this player is and what he's going to be and the impact he's going to have. You can project in that sense. But from what we knew and the projections from various draft analysts and insiders and experts, the Sacramento Kings walked away with great value with their two selections at positions or at play, not necessarily positions, but like player profiles, player types that they just didn't have. So I think for now, you get a thumbs up if you're Scott Perry on the Kings draft. At least you get one from me, which is a big deal. I know Scott's been waiting.
So I don't do player. I don't do draft day trade. Grades. It's something that I refuse to do. I don't like grades at all. But the general consensus around the NBA, with draft experts, with people who are in the know, is they're giving Scott an A to an A plus on his 2 day draft haul.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we should include not just a 2 day draft haul, but then what they were able to do with unrestricted free agents, undrafted free agents in on draft night. So there's a lot to unpack here. But for me, when you're looking at Neek as a player who should go 14, 15, 16, he drops to 24. It costs you some protected stuff for sure. To move up, and so you're already looking though at like basically a plus eight as far as like
yeah
where your pick was selected versus where he was projected
on the consensus big board as
on
it
the,
were
yeah on the consensus mm-hmm. big board, and then you get to the next pick and they go out at 42 and draft Maxime Reynaud.
Reynaud. That's I've been working on it all.
Okay,
day.
You've been working on Reynaud.
The first video I watched, because look, full disclosure, I'm not locked into Stanford basketball.
Of course not.
I'm not locked into late first round yeah. picks. Like I just, especially a 7'2" center. Like it just wasn't. We were looking at wings and point guards and all that jazz. So didn't do a ton on Maxime Reynaud before the draft.
No.
So last night I'm going through and I'm just trying to watch and catch up and see what. And the first video I click on was one of those guys who just like, the first thing was, how do I pronounce this guy's name?
Yeah, yeah.
Because Reynaud is like the I think anglicized, not anglicized, what's the word I'm looking for? Is just the like English version of that.
The uncouth white guy version of trying
sure,
to say it.
Sure. But I'm like, I don't think that's right. And so the first video I watched was like, today we're going to take a look at Stanford center Maxime Reynaud. Like, oh my God, okay, I can do that.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyways, that was my first venture into watching him play.
Well, I think the big thing to like keep tracking as far as where he was projected, to go around like 23, 24, 25. Some had him as low as like 28.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get him at 42, now you're looking at like, again, a plus 17
yeah.
as far as where you got him versus where he was projected. And that's tremendous. In a 60-man draft, to get a guy 17 yeah. picks behind where he was supposed to go, that could be real value. And what we're looking at, you said it, like he might not be a player that anyone had circled and said, hey, this is a guy that I love. But especially if you didn't have a pick and you were hoping maybe to get into the late first round, everyone knows they need length and athleticism. Everyone knows they need a point guard.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a stretch five.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy that might be able to play alongside Domantas Sabonis for stretches, but who can space the floor, shot 34.7% from three. That's not great, but I think the video shows that he's a much better shooter than the actual percentage.
Yeah.
And so I think there's potential for him to be much better at the NBA level, especially standing in the corner, shooting a three-point shot. Without defenders close enough to stop a 7'1" guy shooting a three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's so I've been struggling with this a little bit because there's two separate roads I think you go down when you start talking draft picks, specifically the 24th and the 42nd pick in the NBA draft, because there's a very real chance that we're looking back on this in 2027 and going like, oh, what a disaster that first draft was for Scott Perry.
Yeah.
Like that's I think an important thing to remember is that we're talking the 24th pick in the NBA draft's like a mid second round pick in the NFL. The 42nd pick is like a late third round pick in the NFL. Like if you hope to hit, but if you miss, it's not gonna completely torpedo everything you're doing. But I loved the swing. Like we talked a lot about Nate Clifford yesterday, and I really like that selection a lot. But the thing I like so much about Reynaud is that we talked about the ceiling with Nate Clifford and how, man, you know what? He feels like more of a high floor than a high ceiling guy. Whereas Reynaud's the opposite. If you miss on the 42nd pick, so what? Like take the home run swing.
Mm-hmm.
And so you found a guy who was falling for whatever reason. Maybe he doesn't move his feet great in space. Like maybe he's just, I know he averaged almost a block and a half a game, but from what I understand, that was a lot of just kind of standing near the rim. I don't know if he's going to be great in defending in space, and maybe that just keeps him from ever being an effective NBA player. We don't know. But if you miss, it's not the end of the world. And I think the ceiling is so high there where, man, you know what? If he can survive defensively, if he can develop a reliable three-point shot as a legitimate seven-footer, if he can be effective on the glass, like those are the things where all of a sudden you go, okay, this is where the value is. This is how he affects the team. It's not just a throwaway pick. It's not, oh, they drafted some 6'4 scoring guard who are a dime a dozen in the G League, and that's probably what this guy's going to be. They didn't just throw away a pick like that. Like, you see the vision for each thing.
Well, yeah, that, and you also see a what is close to a finished product. Like, he can get better at certain aspects of the game, and when he gets with a pro coaching staff and a pro training staff, I think they're going to do really good work to improve some of his deficiencies. He's got to get stronger, because that's where I think in the key, getting pushed around a little bit. Like, he's a shot blocker, but I think he's better on the perimeter than he is down low.
Hmm.
And that's something, like, I think he's solid at closeouts. He moves his feet well on pick and roll. Where he really struggles is I think he just kind of gets pushed around a little bit.
Sure.
So you're going to have to work with him to get stronger. But this is a guy who averaged 20 and 10 at the college level, 1.4 blocks. He had 25 double-doubles on the season.
Yeah.
You know, if we look at him and you look at what Neek was able to accomplish, Neek Clifford, again, another guy who averaged, you know, close to a double-double a game. The Kings, rebounding-wise, if these guys get on the court, they are going to be a better rebounding team than they were last year. They've already addressed some of that need. And so I'm intrigued by him. But when you talk about, like, the guys, we shouldn't be putting all the eggs in a basket of the 42nd pick, just like you shouldn't be putting all your eggs in the basket of a 24th, 25th pick in the first round.
Yes.
Right? These are guys that may or may not make your rotation at some point during their career.
Right.
But there was a situation 2 years ago where Trayce Jackson-Davis, who basically has the same exact stats, he's 20 and 10 guy coming out of the draft, and the Kings passed on him not once. This is, again, a guy who was supposed to go in the 20s. They passed on him like in the early second round, and then they passed on him again in the late second round, and then he goes three picks later. And I think it brings us to, like, you can't pass on talent that is proven talent. Like, there are always going to be upside guys, and you want to go chase upside guys for sure. But when you're a team that needs to sort of fill up your roster and you have specific deficiencies, like, this is a guy that, I'm not saying he's going to step in right away and be Domantas Sabonis' backup.
Sure.
But it might give you a little bit of leeway to potentially move on from Valanciunas if you have to in a trade. And to move on from a guy like Trey Lyles, who has been your stretch four, stretch five for the last couple of years, you're able to do it on a much, much cheaper contract. So you're hoping to find value here with a player who hopefully that can play.
Yeah. That's I think, like, you go back a couple years ago when they brought in all the centers, right? Where they brought in, was it Nerlens Noel and JaVale McGee? And I think there's another guy I'm forgetting.
Nemias Keita.
Nemias Keita was on the road. That's right. And they just bring all these guys in, and they're like, we got to kind of figure it out. Well, now you have a player who, even if Reynolds spends the entire year in the G League, which we talked about yesterday, I don't think necessarily the G League is the best place to develop big men, just because if you can play, if you're going to be an effective big man, you're in the NBA. So we may see Reynolds go down to Stockton and average 35 and 15, and it's like, all right, well, this is dumb.
Yeah.
Like, get him out of there. It's pointless. But I think that at least gives you, even if he doesn't play this year, even if he plays zero NBA minutes this year, can you have him in your program where over the next couple of years you are able to trade Jonas Valanciunas because you feel good about what's happening developmentally with Reynolds?
Yeah.
Or over when Valanciunas is a free agent, it's not all of a sudden scrambling to bring in a bunch of randos with Alex Len to try and figure out who's going to be the backup center. I love the ethos of what?
Just laughing because Justin Case has been behind you with his buddy, and the chat has been ridiculous this entire time because basically it's two guys that look like very similar, and they're
that's two King of the Hill characters.
Justin Case, one of the most spectacular disc jockeys that there are,
an all-time good guy. And if the way he's talking to that person, the person he's speaking to, also an all-time good guy.
Yeah,
or a person who's spending a lot of money on Justin Case's radio station. One of the two.
Yeah, that's very possible.
It might be both.
I'm really surprised there aren't tall boys in their hands right now at this point.
Oh, 1,000%. Although, hey, Justin Case is definitely a, like, yellow belly Coors guy. He's a Coors Banquet. He's not a Coors Light guy. Yeah, I feel really good about that take.
Yeah, I absolutely adore Justin Case. Spectacular. 96-90 Eagle. Yeah,
Shout out. No, but I think just the thing that I like so much about this draft, because I am hesitant to be like, wow, home run draft for the Kings. Neat Clifford, Maxime Reynaud, look at all this value. Holy crap, the Kings are going to win 50 games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't do that because we don't know. You don't know if Ace Bailey is going to be good. You don't know if we don't know if Cooper Flagg is going to be good. Right, yeah. Like, we have a good idea. The projection is strong, but maybe Cooper Flagg gets into the league and it's just like, oh, he's Nick Batum. Like, he's a really good player for a long time, had a really good career, but man, he's not like. There was a lot of buzz about this guy, and he was just a good player, not an all-timer, right? So we don't know. But I think the important thing to me about this draft is that Scott Perry attacked it in the way that the Kings needed to attack a draft.
Yeah.
They need look at the roster, regardless of who's getting traded, who's not. You need a player like Neat Clifford on your roster.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's Neat Clifford or a different draft prospect or an undrafted guy or a player in a trade, you just needed more guys like that. So you get him in your building. Again, whether he's good or not, don't know. But frankly, right now, I don't care. We don't know if any draft pick's going to be good. Reynaud, the same thing. You know what? Hey, don't really have like a 7-footer that can handle it and put the ball on the deck a little bit and shoot it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's got just kind of a rare skill set. Let's get him in the building. There's no overlap. There might be a little overlap with Clifford, with maybe Keon Ellis or with Keegan Murray, but that's fine. That's the kind of overlap you want.
Yep.
It's not just redundant skill sets. So that's the important thing to me. And I think when you're grading, that's what you can grade now. What's the theoretical fit? What's the projected fit? It's like they didn't get a 6'2". If they had gotten Jace Richardson from Michigan State, who I think is terrific.
Yep.
But if they had gotten Jace Richardson, we would have been sitting here going, okay, he's a really nice prospect, but how does he fit? Where does he play? Whose minutes does he take? With Clifford and I think with Reynaud, you see if they develop into NBA players, you see where they fit and you see how they could help the Kings. We'll continue talking about this, how the Kings draft prospects fit, how they changed the expectations for the Kings this year, and we want to hear from you in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. You can also hit us on the Elk Grove Kia Talk line, 916-909-1320. That's 916-909-1320. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Back in a second here on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
That's funny.
All right. We're the Insiders. Let's try this again. We're the Insiders. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We're hanging out with you until noon, talking Kings NBA draft. I'd love to hear from you at the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. We're also on the Elk Grove Kia Talk line, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320, if you would like to join the program. So the Kings made a couple other interesting additions last night that I think continue to drive home the type of player that Scott Perry and Doug Christie are trying to bring in.
Oh yeah.
Because there is a common thread, like a mindset that's different about every single player they brought in. Like Neat Clifford, just kind of a dog who does a little bit of everything. Maxime Reynaud, same thing. Like, there's just a little bit of edge to his game. Who's the undrafted cat, the center from Auburn that they brought in?
Yeah, Dylan Cardwell.
Yeah, Dylan. I was reading about him last night and saw him described as an a-hole on the court. Like, all right, man, cool.
No, that's good.
I'm in.
Yeah, he just plays with a crazy force.
Yeah,
and he's like slightly mean-spirited. And we're talking about a 6'9.5" guy with a 7-foot wingspan, 7-plus wingspan, who can jump out of the gym and is known as, he weighs 260. He's like an enforcer. And the Kings just don't have that guy. Like, when you look at a guy in the NBA draft who, number one, is a fifth-year senior, But number two, averages 5 points and five rebounds. You're like, okay, like, look, this isn't a pro prospect. What are we doing here? And then you watch the footage, and he's an elite, elite, you know, above the rim finisher, a great defensive player. Played at Auburn, played alongside Johnny Broom, which is probably why his stats look so bad, because they're too similar as far as player types, and Johnny Broom's just a better offensive player. So, but you're looking at a player that, like, the Kings just don't have. You know, how many times have I said they need a player like a Montrezl Harrell, or they need a guy like Brandon Clark? The Kings haven't had that guy. And
an energy big, as it were.
Yeah, and exactly, an energy big. And when you look at what Dylan Cardwell sort of projects as, he might never play in the NBA.
Sure.
But the fact that the Kings were aggressive, jumped all over him with a two-way contract, he's already in the system, he's on the team, he's a two-way contract, and now you get to see what you have, a defensive-minded guy that you just, again, you just didn't have. You're talking about, hey, look, you know, the stretch five position, or you know, Neat Clifford and what he brings to the table. You didn't really have that jack of all trades like wing. Well, this is another player type that the Kings didn't have. They didn't have a rim runner slash defensive minus shot blocker slash a guy that will go up and get a lob anywhere near the rim that Malik Monk could play with. And now all of a sudden you do. And again, he's going to have to prove that he's an NBA player, but look at, like, the reports on him. Go in and look. He's 22 years old. He graduated from college 2 years ago.
That's so crazy.
Smart kid. He's been not only, like, he's a student athlete, but he's a student leader at Auburn. He's a very, very smart, well-put-together guy who plays mean. And there is clearly a type that Scott Perry is looking for. And, like, realistically, he's looking for more Doug Christies. He, you know, his head coach is a representative of who he wants as a team. And, you know, we hear Scott talk about, like, the types of players, like the high character, the high motor, the, like, physicality, like, not punch somebody in the face, but punch somebody in the face type player. He always is describing, like, who Doug Christie was as a player to a T. And that's what you're trying to, like, sort of filter through and give Doug some types of players that he just flat out hasn't had. That Mike Brown didn't have either. And for that matter, Luke Walton didn't have.
And like,
mean-spirited guys who go out and play hard and make you feel them the entire game.
You know how when you play the Miami Heat and you just go, you know what? No matter what their record is, it's just going to suck. Like, playing against the Heat sucks. Playing against the Memphis Grizzlies, like, God, it's just going to... It's going to be annoying. It's going to be hard no matter how good or bad they are. That's the kind of team the Kings want to have. And I think there's an important thing here, because we talked about this a lot going into the offseason, and I think this persists going into free agency. To me, this year one, I know they want to be competitive. They're not tearing it down. They're not rebuilding. They're not doing that. But year one, to me, of the Scott Perry, Doug Christie era has to be about finding those players, finding the right type of player, starting to instill a mindset. And starting to instill, like, okay, hey, just very clearly, this is the culture. If you can't hang with that, you can't play here. And that's fine for year one. I think this is a focus for now. I think at some point, like, the players have to be good enough. That's something that's going to matter. At some point. Like, I'm fine right now with going, hey, as long as the mindset's good, as long as they're going to go out there and play 100% and dive for loose balls and grab rebounds and create extra possessions, hustle defensively and be this hard-nosed kind of tough team. Like, that's all great for now. And it's part of why I said, like, it matters less to me that Neat Clifford is good or that Maxime Renault is good. Like, that that would be awesome if they were. But I just like that the Kings very much prioritized, and they didn't force the point guard thing. They didn't go, okay, we're moving up in the draft, we need to get a point guard. Who is it?
Like,
no, you didn't need to do that. Get the best guy available who fits what you're looking for. I don't want to crown Scott Perry as exec of the year because of the 24th and 42nd picks in the draft, but I have a hard time coming up with a ton of criticism right now As much as I would like to be able to kind of have a discussion about the pros and cons here, I think when you map out what they're looking for, it's kind of like it reminds me of the 49ers offseason. The 49ers and John Lynch said this on the 49ers Talk podcast. Like, the plan, this all went according to plan. We had a plan and we executed it the way we wanted to execute it. That was a bunch of players leaving, a bunch of veterans leaving. They're going to bring in some low-cost veterans to impact the roster in these ways, but then it's going to be a big influx of young guys, and we're going to try. Now, whether that works or not, no clue. But they had a plan and they executed it well. That's how I'm viewing the Kings' draft. I don't want to say their offseason yet, but their draft, it's just really difficult for me to go like, oh, man, they messed that up big time. Like, nah, you still need a point guard.
Yeah,
but overall, I think they did the right thing. I think they had a plan and they executed.
Well, that, and I think when you're looking at the point guard position specifically, if you're talking about getting a point guard at number 25, the chance of him becoming the player that, you know, a starting level point guard is very slim. That is, it's just the way the game works. Like, top tier point guards go in the top end of the draft. They go in the top 10.
Right.
Because it's the most important position. Mm-hmm. So you can find really nice backup point guards. You can find guys who might be able to be rotational players. But of this draft, there are like maybe four or five of those guys from, let's say, pick 15 to pick 30. Of all of them, maybe two of them work out.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're looking at wings, you can get a much higher percentage of players working out and becoming who you think that they should be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like the fact that, like, look, you're probably not going to find the right value at the point guard position at 25, but you can find the right value at the wing, and you can find the right value as a stretch five, not a starting center, a stretch five who might be able to come off the bench and give you something, maybe develops into something better. And to speak to what you're saying too, it's like there's an identity that they're reaching out for, that they're searching for, right? And I had like talked to somebody within the walls last night, and their response to, you know, hey, solid draft, was now they just have to come in, realize the potential, and play well. Like, that's
well,
it. Like, but you got the right type of player. Now that's what you have. That now that's where the Kings are at. They're like, okay, well, it's nice and all, we did fine. But we need them to come in and play well. We need them to realize their potential. Like, it doesn't matter what everyone thinks on draft night. It doesn't matter what they look like as college players. What truly matters is when they step on the floor and they start doing the work, are they going to do the work? Are they going to do the work to get better?
Exactly.
Are they going to put in the time? Are they the right type of person to change the culture, to help, you know, further the culture of the Sacramento Kings?
Yeah.
And that's what Scott's looking for. He's looking to put his own stamp on the player types that they're bringing in.
And it's the right type of player, in my opinion.
Yeah,
like, you just they're both guys who, and I think Cardwell fits into this too. I think those are players who, if they went to Oklahoma City, or if they went to Indiana, or if they went to Miami, or if they went to Memphis, you would be like, man, that's just that's a really good addition by that team.
Yeah,
it's just the more you can do things like that, where you would be jealous if another team did it. I know that sounds silly, but it's just kind of how I choose to view this point of the offseason, or this point of the team building process. I want to stick on the insiders here. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. I want to stick on the undrafted guys for just a second, because if Cardwell is on a two-way deal.
He's on a two-way deal. Yep.
Isaac Jones got a standard contract.
Isaac Jones was elevated to a standard contract on the main roster. Mm-hmm. Now, his second year this year is non-guaranteed, so the Kings could or could not keep him. But again, he fits this mold, this type of player that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. The hard nose, on the court, fights, gives you everything that he has when he's playing, and he has potential to continue to expand his game. We saw him get better as a shot blocker. We saw his three-point shot go down. A young player to the game, a guy who like was working in a like a warehouse somewhere, and someone said, "Hey, you want to join this junior college team with me, and 3 years later he's in the NBA, right? So there's going to be, he of course played high school basketball, but that's a type of player that, you know, might fit your, what you're looking for, the mold. But he's no longer on a two-way. Isaiah Crawford is another guy who was on a two-way contract last season. He's a restricted free agent for the Kings, but he does not have a second-year two-way. I would assume that the Kings are at least kicking the tires on bringing him back. Because, again, the same exact type of player.
So they could bring him back on a two-way, though.
Yeah, yeah. You can be a two-way player for up to 3 years. Usually, like a player like Isaiah, I would say, if he's going to sign with the Kings, it would be on a two-way. I don't think he's going to get a regular roster spot. But then if he signs on a two-way, you'd always have the potential to bring him up onto your main roster. You get 50 games with the two-way contract.
Right.
But also there's a point where after the trade deadline, usually if someone's growing and figuring out, you usually convert them in the second year, like they did with Keon Ellis, like they've done with other players, even like Isaac Jones. So as of right now, the Kings only have one player on a two-way contract, and that, of course, is Dylan Cardwell, or they intend to sign him to a two-way contract. And then you have Isaiah Crawford, so that could be a second, but their third two-way last season was Mason Jones, and Mason Jones has aged out.
Cannot be a two-way player
of the
anymore.
Two-way contract. I don't even know how Mason Jones was a two-way contract last year, to be honest. Just looking at like his years of service in the NBA,
He's like been in the NBA before.
but you're only allowed like 4 years,
right?
Right. Actually, you're allowed 3 years of two way, and then there's an injury exception, the Harry Giles rule, basically. And Mason Jones really didn't fit into that, so I don't know how they were able to get him on a two way. Either way, it's great that he was on a two way, but he cannot be on a two way this year. And so Mason Jones is going to have to make a decision. The Kings are going to have to make a decision on whether they want him in their program still. And if they do, it's going to have to be as
The roster,
as a rostered player. And you know, and it's not just the Kings he can't sign a two-way with; it's anybody. And so his, like, he just went from making, you know, $650,000 or whatever a two-way contract is to a G League contract is like $42,000. That's not great.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Again, the Kings have some openings here, and that's why the next guy that they brought in, which is Isaac, I don't know, how do we say this?
Noguez
Gonzalez.
Sure.
Right. This is like he's a kid who skipped the high school, the college world, and went straight to the G League.
Right.
And is a defensive like menace, like at the point guard position. Like, this dude is long. He is athletic. Man, a little bit, like, body style reminded me of Dante Exum. Just not as tall. But, like, the length and physicality. Like, a big-time steal guy. Just, a guy who picks up the dribble three-quarter court and just makes someone's night, like, really crappy. So they signed him to an Exhibit 10 contract, which is a...
What does that mean?
It's called a summer contract in the NBA.
Okay.
But an Exhibit 10 basically means that he can be with the Kings summer league. He can be with the Kings through training camp. He can be with them until, you know, they get to the end of the cuts at training camp, and then they'll have to make a decision. But what it does do is it covers him, like it gives him a little bit of upfront money, and then it gives him, you know, some basics like insurance in case something happens in the gym. It allows the Kings to have him in the gym and working out like this summer, and you'll see what you have.
Sure.
You know, again, super raw offensively, but somebody who, you know, maybe even like a smaller version of Matisse Thybulle, like really interesting defensive prospect. And like, they're going to have to work with him and see if they can develop a 3-point shot and develop some rudimentary other skills.
Yeah, he shot 27% from three last year.
Yeah, yeah. It's not great, but I mean, like any player who's coming out who's going to play guard in the NBA, he's got to be able to shoot way higher than that.
Yeah.
And so you're hoping that, you know, there's a possibility of giving him a shot. But he's going to have to earn that, and that's what the Exhibit 10 is. It basically, what I was told, he's competing for a two-way spot. He's competing for a spot with the Stockton Kings. There could be a point during training camp where the Kings might sign him to a regular roster spot and then waive him, but give him a bonus. And if he goes to the G League, he'll get that bonus, and that can be 150. It can be, you know, whatever. $150,000. It can be something that makes that $42,000 G League money look much, much bigger and more comfortable to at least live on for a year or two while you're trying to assess who he is as a player.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
The way NBA contract stuff works is pretty wild. Real quick, some NBA news today before we step aside momentarily. Masai Ujiri is out in Toronto.
Absolutely weird.
Really odd. One, it felt like they were pretty locked in with him and having a plan and executing said plan.
Mm-hmm.
But to get rid of your president of basketball operations, I think was his title, the day after the draft?
And 3 days before free agency? 4 days, 5 days, whatever it is?
Maybe like maybe he hasn't been involved. Like, I don't know. I'm not in Toronto. But from where we sit in Sacramento, a few thousand miles away, that's kind of wild to me that they just punted Masai Ujiri.
Yeah.
And it matters less for the Kings, from like, because who cares? But there was all that smoke around the Kings and Raptors making a trade. And the Raptors' interest in Malik Monk and trying to get rid of Emmanuel quickly or RJ Barrett, or at least trying to get off their contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's all in flux. You have no idea what the Raptors are going to do internally and whether there's going to be a dramatic change, whether they're still enamored with Malik Monk. I have no idea, but I think you got to pause all Toronto Raptors related things if you're the Kings right now.
Yeah, it's tough because that's a team that you're really looking at to work with. And hey, maybe it's because they swung and missed on the Kevin Durant thing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's that they got involved in the Kevin Durant thing. I'm not sure what happened there. It just seems really strange because this is a guy who brought you a championship.
Yeah.
And made savvy moves to get you that championship. Mm-hmm. And it was a one-time thing. But that one-time thing was because he took a big-time gamble on Kawhi Leonard,
yeah,
and it paid off, and he got you a ring.
Mm-hmm.
And so for him to be out is kind of crazy. Although that was, 2019? So I guess it's been a while.
A few years.
It's been like 6 years.
Yeah, I'm interested to see where that came from.
Yeah.
And whether the Raptors are still interested in making a deal with the Kings for Malik Monk or anyone else. Anyways, that's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We got to talk about Ace Bailey because Ace Bailey is supposed to be going to Utah today. Ace Bailey is not going to Utah today. We'll talk about what that means next. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. Sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
And welcome back into the Insiders. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Some 49ers news.
Oh.
Before we get back to the Kings, yeah. Typically, news about an NFL team on June 27th is never good. And that's the case here. D'Amador Lenore, this is according to TMZ. D'Amador Lenore and another man named Marcus Cunningham, they were approached by law enforcement down in L.A., when they noticed a car was double parked and blocking traffic. The officers saw a gun in the car that, according to report, according to TMZ, belonged to Cunningham. Cunningham threw his car keys to Lenore, and then Lenore didn't give the keys to the police officer, so he has been arrested for resisting a peace officer. He was released Friday morning, and he'll appear in court next month.
Hmm.
Nice.
Okay.
Just what the 49ers needed.
Yeah.
Their best cornerback getting arrested in June.
Yeah, that's not great.
Not the end of the world. I don't think there will probably be punishment from the league for this or anything. But, man, that's tough.
Did I ever tell you, we went through a stretch for like for like 5 years where our fantasy football league, if you had a player arrested, it was a $10 fine.
I love that.
Yeah, it was pretty spectacular, but then it got a little expensive for a couple of guys.
So well,
we had to kill.
Well, we had to price kill. Of doing business, brother. You know the rules. Hey, I have a question for you. While we're talking about the NFL, we'll get back to the NBA draft because we got to get to this Ace Bailey stuff.
Yeah,
but if with the Odyssey Fantasy League. Do we just do a team together again this year?
Oh, heck yeah, I think so.
Okay, I had a lot of fun with that, so yeah, I did that'll too. Be great. I can't wait to draft Christian Kirk again.
Yeah, it's gonna we're be not awesome. Drafting Christian Kirk this year, but that's okay.
Okay, very good. I just wanted to clear that up before we moved on. All right. Ace Bailey, according to Brian Windhorst, is not traveling to Utah with Utah's other draft pick, Walter Clayton Jr. Bailey, according to Windhorst, is expected to show up Monday when summer league practices begin. Mm-hmm. I'm torn on this because I think this is largely a non-story.
Okay.
If Bailey is not there on Monday, let's talk about it. But I think if Ace Bailey had just gone through the draft process, interviewed with teams, worked out for teams, done the normal thing, got drafted fifth by the Jazz, and he wasn't going to show up till Monday, I don't think it's a story. I don't think anybody's reporting anything on this. But Ace Bailey and his representation, I want to emphasize his representation, have put him in this position now.
Yes.
Where he was supposed to be a top three pick. He was a consensus top three guy. All the way up until the draft process. And then there's a bunch of teams he won't work out for. Cancels his workout with the Sixers. And then you hear, oh, he's trying, he wants to play on the East Coast, but somewhere between Boston and Atlanta, or New York and Atlanta, or whatever it was. He wants to play in this really specific corridor. And if possible, he'd really like to play for the Washington Wizards.
Hmm.
There was just all this, and then the questions start arising about, man, how good of a prospect is he really? He's super talented, but is he a winning type of player? All this stuff, and then he goes fifth to the Jazz. And now Ace Bailey, anything he does that's outside the scope of what we consider the norm, it's going to be a story where people go, oh my God, what a disaster for Danny Ainge and the Jazz. He's going to be under a microscope for the rest of his career?
Maybe. Okay, so here, first of all, like there are like AAU guys and like high school coaches and stuff that like are known to like prey on young players to get them under their wing. So then that way they can be their agent. It's a horrible mistake by Ace Bailey to have when you're a top three pick to have somebody who does not have a client list that does not have a track record of success as a agent in the NBA. Right. But this is an 18-year-old kid who has no idea what he's doing, and I don't know what his parents are doing either, but it's very possible that, you know, like in these situations, a lot of time, you get money up front from some of these agent guys to, like, hold your place.
Yeah.
I mean, is it Tatis we were talking about? The Tatis signed as a 17-year-old some weird contract with an agent that or some sort of firm that gave them 10% of all of his future earnings forever and ever, amen. And so now he's suing because number one, he is underage, but number two, like he's now like long past those people and they keep taking his 10%.
Yeah.
Like, so there are people who are just not good at this.
They're
right?
Predatory.
They are. This is a predatory situation. And so here's my hope. First of
Please.
All, Ace Bailey said everything right on draft night about the Jazz and about going there and all that stuff.
Yep.
His agent then turns around and was asked a question and becomes a punk about it again. His agent, again, he has no other clients. It's Omar Cooper. His son, Sharif Cooper, lasted in the NBA about 3 minutes, probably because of this exact thing.
Yep.
He was drafted. He slid all the way to the late second round. Was supposed to be a late first round pick. Late second round, was out of the league after playing like 13 games for the Atlanta Hawks in 2001. His son is 24 and out of the NBA. There are players that are in this draft that are older than his kid, who's already out of the NBA, who was drafted in like 2000, 2001. So, I mean, 2020, 2021, sorry. So here's my hope. My hope is that Ace Bailey shows up, that Ace Bailey gets in Utah, gets under the wings of the Utah Jazz, Danny Ainge and that group, Will Hardy and all that stuff. But the real thing here is that some of the veterans on this team step in, pull him aside, and as players say, hey, let me introduce you to my real agent. Let me introduce you to somebody who has your best wishes,
right?
Your best, like they want you to succeed, not get you in all this crazy trouble that's happening right now for you. And I can almost guarantee there is no way this guy is going to be an is going to be his agent for the next 5 years.
He will, or his manager or whatever the hell he is.
No, they'll bail on him so quick once he gets into an NBA like system. He'll bail on him quick, and he'll be, you know, someone will introduce him to Rich Paul. They'll introduce him to Mark Bartlestein or Bill Duffy, one of these guys that are really good at their job. And the problem that that Cooper has here, the agent has, is he tried to swing like where Ace Bailey was going to go. And that's impossible because he doesn't have another client.
Right. Okay.
So when Jeff Schwartz says, hey, I don't want someone to go to Sacramento, it's because Jeff Schwartz has like six other clients that the Sacramento Kings might be interested in or already in the building, or and he might need to work out a contract extension. He's like, hey, we're not going to work out that. I'm just throwing Jeff Schwartz's name out there.
Yeah,
I'm
just like, or pick an agent.
Or any of these agents. They can say, hey, look, my guy's not going to sign there.
Right. There's a right way to do this and a wrong way to do this.
Yeah.
And refusing workouts and then 2 days before the draft going, yeah, hey, he only wants to play for this select group of teams.
Yeah.
No, that's not the right, that's not the quote unquote, I don't think you should do that at all, but that's not the quote unquote right way to do it.
No.
And the way that Ace Bailey's representation has gone about representing him has put him in this place where maybe he's showing up on Monday because he's 18 years old and having a difficult time saying goodbye to his family.
Yep.
Maybe there was something weird. Maybe he's trying to arrange his living situation, and something came up, and they with his move, something came up, and he's got to show up Monday. That could be the long list of things that just have nothing to do with anything. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's got a dog sit. I don't know. But his representation has put him in this spot where him not going today and going Monday when practice starts instead is this huge thing. And oh my God, he doesn't want to go to Utah. But Shams Charania said it on the Pat McAfee show today. Like, the logic is, in reality, is he's going to play for the Jazz.
Of course he is.
Like, this isn't, and I think there's, it's being painted, especially through the power of aggregation and that telephone game that goes from Ace Bailey's going to show up Monday or is expected to show up Monday to he could show up Monday to he doesn't want to play there. Like, it just becomes this gross misrepresentation of what's happening.
Yeah.
And I feel for him, but this is where his representation has gotten him. So I'm rooting so hard for Ace Bailey to get to Utah, have an awesome career, get real representation, and have this be a footnote, have this be a cautionary tale for future young NBA players going through the draft process.
I totally agree. I just feel like there's so many of these cautionary tales, and so few times does it actually work out for the player, and they just get burned to the ground in these situations, and I get it. You know, you should be embracing wherever you go. You just got selected into the top five of the NBA draft. He should have gone to Philly.
Yep.
The fact that his agent told some of these teams in the top five not to draft him, multiple teams in the top five not to draft him. What are you talking about? You know the difference between the top three pick and a top seven pick? It's
tens of millions of dollars.
Yes, it's so much money.
It's a lot of money.
Why are you listening to someone who's saying, hey, we're going to flush the money down the toilet?
And also, you're now going to Utah, where there's no direction. There's no foundation. Instead of going to Philly, where at least there's Tyrese Maxey, Paul George is there, health, you know, TBD. Joel Embiid is there, health TBD. Like, it's an organization that, like, has some standards.
Well, I agree, and I think Utah has taken a beating, especially because they are the prime example of what tanking is and all that stuff. But they still have a good coach. They still have a good front office. They still have like the right basketball type of situation. Mm-hmm. And players have, like Sacramento, players have gone there and stayed there for years and end up loving it and being part of the community, right?
And just, Vernon Maxwell also exists.
Well, then there's Vernon Maxwell, who does not like Utah at all and chooses every moment to make fun of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a tough look, but I think he'll get through this. And the quicker he's able to get around actual NBA players and they're able to say, hey, look, man, you are making some colossal mistakes and we need to help you because a team can't do that. A team, the NBA cannot do that. Go and tell him who his representation is, because if they push him to somebody else and that somebody else does something nefarious, then they're on the hook for anything that they promoted to him.
Yep.
And so they're not allowed to. Yep. So I'm really hoping that the players step in here and say, hey, look, like this is a good spot for you, but also this is what a good agent does, not what and what we're seeing right now from you is not what a good agent does.
Yep, absolutely. All right. Neek Clifford's college coach, Ali Farokhmanesh, is going to join us. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. I'll make sure to confirm with him before we have him on. But he's going to join us at 11:45. Really excited to get his insights on Neek Clifford. But there's a player available for trade that doesn't solve the Kings' biggest problem, but it helps one of their major problems. We'll tell you who it is next. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. Sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is ESPN 1320, and that is Sacramento Sports Leader.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.